I'm going to take you back now to the origins of the Beige Brigade. Hopefully that rings a bell for you. And my very small part in that as a founding member. This story starts in 1981 with that infamous underarm bowl. You probably all know the story, and some of you might remember it, if not the footage. Trevor Chappell bowled underarm to Brian McKechnie, the New Zealand batsman. Brian McKechnie blocked it, threw away his bat in disgust, and stormed off the pitch. I want you to focus on the man at the other end, at the non-striker's end. He was the New Zealand opening batsman called Bruce Edgar. He was standing cross, arms folded like this, and when Trevor Chappell returned to the bowling crease, he gave him the two-fingered salute, as was the old school way, and stormed off as well. But I actually want you to focus on what those two men were wearing, because they were clad in a rather magnificent but also equally horrendous sporting uniform that was a tan matching twin suit, skin tight of top and trousers, tight round the buns and flared at the bottoms, wide open neck with brown, dark brown, poo brown trim. And then fast forward to 1999, a year after the Boney M concert, and my flatmate, James Lane, inherited Bruce Edgar's original 1980s sports uniform. I said to James Lane that I'd call him James Lane, but his real name's Mike. He inherited this uniform, and in 1999, sort of like a tan and a brown, matching twin set sports gear. It didn't really fit 1999. And so there wasn't an obvious occasion when you could wear it. And indeed, it came with a note for James that said, you are the only person I know stupid enough to wear this. And James obviously didn't know the right occasion to wear it because he wore it on every occasion. He wore it every second day. He wore it for all 48 hours of every single weekend. And naturally, I and the flat got very envious of this. And so did our other flatmates, so did some of our other friends. And I came home from university one afternoon and saw Bruce Edgar's original kit lying in pieces on our lounge room floor. It looked like it had been quick unpicked. And James was sitting in front of a sewing machine stitching together rudimentary shirts for all of us based on template copies of the quick unpicked Bruce Edgar. Now, that was the reaction I thought you might give, which is, oh, what a nice guy. And he is. He's a terrific chap. But he isn't a tailor, and he isn't refined. And I just want to step back for a second to give you an idea of the character of the man who I saw that afternoon. In first year, I met him when I was in a hall of residence in Canterbury, and I met him because I was sitting watching telly with a few other people on the third floor of our building, in our common room, and an unknown man to me at that time walked in, walked straight across the room, and urinated out the window. And then he turned around and with a curtain wiped himself. And it was weird because the loos were literally opposite the common room. He was completely unknown to us. He didn't live on our floor. And that's the man I came to know as James Lane, hence the name. And he's a wonderful chap, but he's pretty bold. It was an icebreaker of sort, and he's pretty wonderful fun. But that was the man-child a year later in my flat I saw behind a Bonina sewing machine jigging away sports uniforms for us, which is pretty terrific, and he's a wonderful chap and crude but wonderful tops. So I ended up wearing mine with pride, and we went to a lot of cricket, and we found ourselves following the New Zealand team in the summer of 2000-2001. New Zealand playing Zimbabwe on a tour, and we were in Owen Delaney Park in Taupo. I think there were only two maybe only two one-day international games played at Owen Delaney. We were there on the embankment, and New Zealand lost horrifically to Zimbabwe that day. And the New Zealand Herald, next day or two, it didn't really cover the loss so much. It covered its leading article in the sports pages was a photograph of four of us on the embankment chanting away on our beige kit under the banner headline, Glory Days of the Beige Brigade. Now, from that moment on, the Beige Brigade went kind of nuts. And I caught up with James on the phone recently because he continued with it. Tens of thousands of shirts have been sold through a company that he set up. And he's led a kind of sporting, kind of cultural revolution. He's led it with a passion, not fashion mantra. and with the idea of supporting cricket for supporting sake, not the result. And he's a wonderful chap. I remember fondly the halcyon days of my beige brigade, and I wear it very closely to my chest. And I wear it literally very closely to my chest because on special occasions, under my business suit in court, the original 1999 replica I'm not going to take any more off. Just so you know as well, and my son when he was born in 2006. Okay.
Fantastic.